comments? No one in the room and no one online.
Right.
So we do have a set of minutes for version or approval from September 22nd, 21. Any comments on those? Take those as presented. And moving along, new business, admin 2021-38 budget report for September 2021.
All right. Reports in the packet for the month. The sales tax figure in the September column, I think I mentioned last month, is the second highest we've ever done at $401,000. So we've broken $400,000 twice now, both of which have been in the past 2 months. So things continue to look up. The October number came in a couple weeks ago. It was up like 27%. I don't recall off the top of my head where it ranked as far as historical rankings go, but it was up again. So, the interesting thing is when I say it's up 27%, a lot of towns are starting to see that now as people come back, especially compared to the denominator of 2020. But for us, our 2020 numbers were up like 10%. So, the fact that we're another 27% above that is just, still incredible to witness. So things are good. Cash flow is still pretty good. Expenditures are still doing okay, although, we're starting to run into supply issues. Like we saw it on the Kennedy Road crosswalk sign when we ordered it. It took a little bit longer than we expected. Something as small as that. We just got notified this morning that the truck that we authorized last year for delivery, I think it was in the middle of the summer or middle of the winter here, is going to be pushed off until like mid to late 2022 already. And the two trucks that we have rehabbed, the original delivery date was going to be November 1. They had already pushed that back a couple weeks ago to November 15th. They've now pushed it back to December 1st. So they're having stainless steel supply issues. They just can't get it. So hopefully, those trucks get done in time to be useful for the snow season. Right now, delivery date of December 1 should be okay, but we'll see. So it's just a little bit of a different world, obviously, than it used to be. So, but other than that, if anybody has any questions, I can take them, but there wasn't too much else in the reports.
Any questions or comments on those? All right, next item.
Beginning fund balance of $14,992,729. Year-to-date revenues are $29,073,901. Year-to-date expenses of $14,094,411. Or projected ending fund balance of $29,972,219.
Any questions or comments on that one? All right, then in that case, that will move to the October 26th council meeting. Next item, admin 2021-40, website report for September 21.
We, in our peak for the year, this is our hometown day of Clutch. So we had a lot of visitors to our website to look at all things going on for hometown days, as well as Facebook, even though the Amnesty Day is the highest post. We are looking at a downward trend somewhere around January is usually our lowest, and then we creep back up for Grandparents Day and Valentine's. It all really predicates itself on the events that we've got going on, which is exactly what we want it to be, so people can find the information that they're looking for. If anybody has any questions, I'd be happy to answer.
Any questions on the website before you? I think that's good. That's all informational. Next item is our admin 2021-41, 2021 bond financing, refinancing discussion.
Yeah, Rob's got a nice memo in the packet, outlines the timing. It does have the materials in there related to the option that the City Council directed us to, which is basically the refinancing plus $1 million for the Prairie Point building. So that's in there as Exhibit A. This is scheduled and will be ready for the October 26th City Council meeting to kick off the process, set the public hearing date, which will be November 9th, before we do the bond sale ordinance at the December 14th meeting. Of note, just from a scheduling perspective, We are anticipating that every meeting from October through November to this December meeting is going to be somewhat heavy on the water topics, obviously, with us having to give Joliet a decision. And we did have a tentative internal meeting and then met with Oswego and Montgomery counterparts. And we've all kind of penciled that December 13th and December 14th date for actual answers back to Joliet. So not that I anticipate the bond ordinance to be particularly burdensome as far as the discussion goes, but it will be up against probably some more weighty topics at that meeting. If you have any questions, Rob or I are happy to take them. This is kind of an informational item. I mean, the bond ordinance will be ready to go on October 26th. If you guys said, hey, we don't want to do that, we would rethink it. But, you know.
It's already a council item.
Yep.
So, we don't need action. All right. Next item, Admin 121-42, meeting schedule for 2022.
There aren't any holiday conflicts. If anybody has vacation conflicts, we can reschedule now or later. Now is also the time because we publish this as an annual calendar to decide if you want to change the date or the time of the meeting.
Nothing stood out. All right. Take the calendar as presented. Very good. Anybody have any old business? None? Any additional business?
Just one item under additional business. I mentioned it at last night's Public Works Committee meeting. We do have some revised dollar figures for our water source options that came to light after the last City Council meeting. They were shown at last night's public open house, which we actually had 14 people attend, and they all rushed in the door right at 5 o'clock, so it was kind of overwhelming and interesting. You know, that's like more people than we had at the regional meeting.
Well, you know when their water bill's gonna go up.
Well, I don't subscribe to that as a marketing strategy, but it is probably true. So, there on the City Council agenda, there will be a verbal presentation from the engineers about what's changed. They found some calculation differences that actually had dropped all of the monthly water bills that had been shown previously by like $5 or $10, you know, for the month. So they're all within the same. I think the Fox River ones and one of the DuPage ones went down slightly in relative to the others too. So nothing that, you know, makes it more obvious that one is way cheaper than the others. But we wanted to explain that, and then we have the decision matrix ready to go. It is a four-part spreadsheet, one of which is just blank, and it basically says, here's a cost column, here's all the options. We've preloaded those rankings between the two Fox River options, the three Lake Michigan options, you know, what we think is like the relative difference between them as far as scores, and then there's like a weight row that you can change depending on whether you value cost or governance or control or security and all those things. And so there's a blank one that anybody can, you know, change up. And then there's three examples of just different preferences. So Eric, Jeff Freeman, and I had all just kind of like, you know, threw some numbers in there based on, you know, our general thoughts. We didn't necessarily put our name on there or anything. We're not recommending that that's the decision you make. But it's in there just so you can see the, you know, how the different scoring systems change the relative ranking between the three. That'll also be in the City Council packet. And, you know, we can answer questions about that too if you guys have any. So,
any questions on that one? I did have one. I couldn't make a last time doing that now, so great.
Yep.
But with the water study infographics, is there one that actually breaks down what people consider to be the city water bill? Because in that bill, it's waste, it's. So it did. The sanitary district, it's the garbage, it's our water, it's all of those. But is there a way that we can present that as here's the overall bill?
Yep.
When we're talking a 200% increase or whatever the increase
is. Yeah, it's not on the whole bill. Right.
It's on this portion.
A portion of the bill.
Trust me, I got it all on my website.
Oh! Nice, okay. That's a good idea. We can prepare something like that.
Yes, that would be helpful because that was not.
Sure.
Okay. Anything else on that one?
The matrix. We're all going to be able to put our own numbers. Is the public going to have the opportunity to do that too?
We're going to put it in the packet. We can put it on the website. It's not a tool where I think that we're all going to get together and say, let's all agree to the scoring system and then see which one comes out on top, as much as it is a tool to facilitate discussion, the difference between the options. So, like, to give you an example, like, all five of our options, you know, they're within $5 or $10 million of each other from a capital perspective. So, you know, some of them are $2 million, some of them are $6 million. Like, if we're doing a 1-5 scoring system, 1 being great and 5 being bad, or vice versa, or whatever, you know, do you rank all of them 5s and 4s? You rank them 5s and 2s? You know, it's like, and so that's the conversation you have. It's like, well, how big of a deal is it that, you know, this one is $3 million difference?
Because if someone calls and says, how are you making a decision? Or if I, you better get if I say to them, well, how would you base your decision? Can I say, if you go on to the packet, you can see this matrix that we use. I said, fill it out, you know, put your own values to your particular issue, and then send an email and tell me what you think as someone who's going to be paying for this.
Yeah.
How you feel you would decide, and let me know. So it would give, I mean, people who are going to be footing the bill the same discussion tool that we use as well. So, most people have no idea.
Yeah, you absolutely can do that, and I hope that'll be useful. My sense is, just based on the early conversations that we've had, people already come in with kind of an idea of what they want and why. I haven't heard too many discussions about cost yet. Nobody's come in and said, choose the cheapest one, please. It's usually reputation of water quality, or, you know, I don't want to partner with this entity because, you know, I'm scared of what they're going to do down the road, or something else. So, you know, it tends to be kind of a preordained, you know, reason that comes into it, but certainly it'll be available.
Those are the types of feedback that I'm getting to, is I like that. They're well established. You should go with that.
Yeah.
It's not the cost issue.
Right.
There will be no right answer for it.
There will not.
No.
All right, anything else on the water study?
Nope.
I had one quick one. I wanted to just ask, how are we doing on return to work for staff in terms of percentages? I'm glad to see more faces in the office. Greater faces, it's nice. Where do we stand on
Back? I don't have numbers at my fingertips necessarily. I can think of maybe one or two employees that are doing, you know, 2 or 3 days at home. It's usually a family issue or a school issue or a kid issue type of thing. We have been, very strict and on top of, if you're going to be at home, you know, there's going to be either a check-in or, you know, we've got things to do, and people are sending me information basically every day on what they're doing at home, just so that there isn't a question about that later. The default, though, is, and it has been, I would say, probably for 2 or 3 months, you're in the office, you know, unless you have an excuse not to be. I would say they're, just off the top of my head, probably 85 to 90% full on a daily basis on the average. The kicker is always, though, just people with symptoms being home. The good thing is because we've already kind of built in working from home. You know, most of the time when somebody's home because their family is sick or they've got a symptom, they're going to end up working. They're not taking too many sick days. So that's been a little interesting. It's just, you know, is someday I walk in and there's 3 people here, but it's like, oh, 4 people are working from home because 2 of them are sick, and, you know, the 3rd one has got a sick kid, and, you know, so. So that's been interesting.
Sounds good. Yeah, I appreciate the update. It's good to know that we're predominantly back, but we're still flexible.
Yep.
I think for being a government entity, customer service comes first. That's the best we can facilitate that.
Yeah. Yeah, we have not had any office closures or window closures, except for there were a couple days where there were close contacts and people who actually had COVID. And so, you know, there were a few days that we had to either close to clean or close because we were short-staffed, but those have been less than 5 probably in the last couple months. So,
good.
Yep.
All right. Anybody have anything else? We'll adjourn at 6:15.
Thank you. Makes things easy when nobody attends via Zoom.